All right, 5:29:22. This is prayer call, and the segment's called Spirit to Spirit. In our flesh, we are so limited, but through the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we are availed a way to pray to God through our spirits that are like God, for He is a Spirit. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures here. In John 4, which we read last time in our teaching, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. We'll start with 21 there. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is no outside fleshly worship. That was old covenant. We worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not desiring fleshly worship or fleshly prayers. We can now worship and pray to our Father of spirits and have perfect worship and perfect prayers that are in the will of God. This is effective. Kind of like we talk about targeting in prayer. We're going to be given things to say, maybe prayers to pray. Let me read that again. This is effective. Okay, God is not desiring fleshly worship or fleshly prayers. We can now worship and pray to our Father of spirits and have perfect worship and perfect prayers that are in the will of God. This is effective. It's in line with God's order for the believer and for the church. I'm telling you, we focus so much on churches out here. No, church is in here. Are ye the temple of the Holy Ghost? All right, Hebrews 12. I'm going to have quite a few scriptures here. And I'm going to try to go through it quickly because we've had quite a bit this morning. But this goes with what the Spirit's already been saying to us. All right, this is Hebrews 12:7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had our fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? See, this is a spiritual work, spiritual worship, spiritual prayers. Flesh is not even in the equation. But they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So he's talking about a spiritual walk. Not a natural one. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I think I got that wrong. Just a minute. Okay, let's keep going. Part of our spiritual armor includes praying in the Spirit. This is Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Didn't say in the flesh. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, when we're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is taking hold together with us and directing the prayers. All right, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he helps us pray, but it's our spirit praying.
Okay.
Praying the Spirit will help us to pray in the natural, the right kind of prayer, so that we're not just wasting our time and the Father's time too. To me, it's just unless it's Spirit-led, it's just he gives you a prayer to pray. Praying in tongues also has everything to do with our spiritual growth. Okay, Ephesians, that's why a lot of these Christians, I believe, are being deceived. They're not walking a Holy Ghost, tongue-talking walk. All right, verse 14, it's 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that we grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we've been rooted and grounded in love. And that other word talked about the reason they're being deceived. They're not rooted and grounded in the Word. That's why they can say, well, it ain't no good. It's been altered with, so I don't even read it anymore. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. That's how God teaches us to love. By a Spirit which passes not, and ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is supernatural love. This isn't your love. You can't. Your flesh can't. But the Spirit can. And that's another aid to this, but speaking in tongues. Okay? All right. Ephesians 3. The Holy Spirit is here to help us in everything if we'll yield to Him. We have to make the decision. He will not overtake us and knock us down and make us do anything. John 14. That's what I mean. It's no wonder the body of Christ is powerless, because they haven't even done the first thing. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit, speaking. And then we were told that we were to renew our minds with the Word of God. If they've not done these things, they ain't going to do anything else. They're the bunch that's waiting for it to all fly away. Get out of this place. I stunk up the place. Lord, would you come clean up after me? He said, I don't want you up here, because I ain't going to put up that up here. Well, it's the truth. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Romans 8, back to Romans 8, 27 and 28. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It isn't just you praying, just your spirit praying, but the Holy Ghost is coming up beside you and hooking up with you. Like, think about draft horses, hooking up with you to pray God's perfect will. He'll lead you in your praying. All right. He leads and guides you in all truth. It will eliminate selfish praying. There'll be no selfish praying here. There'll be no wrong praying here. As I said before, you can just pray so much in the natural or worship in the natural and you're worn out. But in the Spirit, you can accomplish all this with ease. All right, Acts chapter 10. Acts And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So when you're praying in tongues, you're magnifying God. You can just worship just so much. You can just say home so many hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus, until you just give up and walk off. But when you pray in the Spirit, you're glorifying and magnifying God. In the world we live in and everything of God, of this world, trying to close in on it in us, we need a constant refreshing from the Lord so that we will not get weary in well-doing. Isaiah 28, great scripture. He was an unusual prophet. He had some insight. Let's see, some real insight. He said, verse 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So the Holy Ghost will refresh you. But the thing is, this last day church, he's speaking to us through his Spirit. He knows what they've done. He knows they've tried to sabotage stuff. That's why when we're cooked, connected with him, we will not be deceived. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen, if thou give him a thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. But then Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He's talking about the context of being in the assembly as opposed to your own private prayer life. Okay. Praying in the Spirit can help us get our mouths under control. This is James chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue no man can tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. But God can. Fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Okay. One more and we're done. Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among brethren. That pretty well hits everything the Spirit said to us here this morning. So I'm going to close with that.